talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long tongue liar.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making right now. And a lot of it's being made good and bad. Get right to it. One of my least favorite members of the House of Representatives, and I have a lot of least favorites, but this one takes the cake, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Marjorie Taylor Greene has plenty of time on her hands because she's been stripped of all her committee assignments by the Congress. So she doesn't have much to do. She roams the hall, occasionally stalks somebody she doesn't like. Occasionally, if she sees AOC, she'll stalk her to her door. She's kind of a peculiar person. She is really kind of Ilsa, the she-wolf of the QAnon right. In any event, she had the following bright idea. The bright idea, because she saw how divided Congress is, she sent out a questionnaire to her constituents with a question, should the United States be divided up into red and blue states? In other words, the United States would dissolve and the red states would form a country and the blue states would form a country. And nobody gave any thought, of course, to what we do with our armed services, our treasury, trade, and our integrity as a nation, our constitution. She doesn't care about any of that. And really, this is very similar to what happened in 1861, except there it was largely regional, you know, below the border states, the Deep South, and then up through Virginia. Remember, Virginia borders on Washington, D.C., where Abraham Lincoln was. I mean, the battles of Bull Run and all that. Well, she's proposing it again, and this time it would split it up. It would split it up so any red state would be in her country. And these are all, frankly, the states that got the most federal aid, many of them. Certainly not Florida and Texas, but many of the others do. And we're all Americans. She doesn't understand this. She does not understand that we're all Americans. You know, in the Navy on her ship, everybody, we had people from lots of different states. And everybody stood watch together. Everybody worked together and everybody went on liberty together. Luke, you're looking at the microphone. You got something to say? Because then I have a big revelation about the data she compiled. What's on your mind, Luke?
Yeah, before you jump into the data, I'd just be curious. Does that mean since Georgia voted for Joe Biden that Georgia would be part of the blue state coalition, though? Like, I'm confused.
Yeah, that's
is she advocating that she wants to be in a country specifically of progressive states then? I don't know. So I'll let you get to the data, but I just wanted to throw
a very
that
good point.
Yeah.
Arizona, right?
Right.
Georgia, so. Nevada. Yeah, that'd be great. They also elected two Democratic senators.
Exactly.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so Marjorie Taylor Greene would be, and of course, in her authoritarian structure, we would expel her from that state and make her go down to South Carolina or somewhere. She's sick. She's a sick cookie. She is a very strange ranger. But here is the unbelievable return that she got when she sent out. Now, remember, her constituents in that rural area of Georgia, it's a very right-wing district. I mean, it's a very red district. It's so red. I mean, the Democrat doesn't have a chance, but the Republicans put up somebody in a primary against her the first time she ran, and she had no credential whatsoever other than her talk about murdering the Speaker of the House and the former Democratic presidential nominee, for which she did not get prosecuted, which to this day I think was a big mistake. But she was running against a guy, very conservative Republican, who was a medical doctor. I think he may have been a neurologist, I'm not sure. But he was basically kind of a straight guy as far as the issues. I mean, you know, he didn't talk stupid. And she killed him in the primary. There is a hunger in parts of this country, and certainly in her district, for that kind of talk. Anyway, a little more than 21,000 votes, so to speak, or returns on her questionnaire to her constituents have come back. And now, remember something. If anybody rigged an election, she would. So I have no idea whether she put her thumb on the scales. But, you know, apparently they have copies of them, and apparently this is what it said. 50.9%, that's really 51% of them, said yes, they'd like to split up into red and blue states. 38% of them said no, and 10% of them were undecided. So if you add the people who wanted to split up in red and blue states and the undecideds, you had 61%. 61% in a congressional district in the United States in the year 2021. Now, think about that. That is, now, obviously, this thing has no authority. Obviously, people could vote and get something off their chest, knowing full well that it didn't have any consequence. So you have to factor that in. But the truth is that anybody in this day and age would even publicly express, or in a vote like that, that they would like to split up the United States is sick. But when you say that 61%, or okay, just the yeses, 51% are sick, what does that say? Not everybody's sick. That says there's some very deep-seated divisions that we all understand superficially, but we're not really taking into account. And that means the 2022 elections, right now, of course, we're the party, the incumbent party. We're the party that has the presidency, and we, the party, has a slight majority in the House, a razor-thin majority in the Senate. Parties like that typically lose some seats. The question is, can we reverse that and gain some seats? Or if we don't, get it limited, very, very limited to what we lose. And the jury's still out on that one. But when you see something like that, when you see in Iowa, 91% of the Republican voters like Donald Trump, and a large plurality of them want him to be their nominee in 2024, there is a sickness that's taken place in this country. And the people are not bad people. They're not sick. These are fellow Americans expressing their views politically. But what's causing them to do it isn't Trump. What's causing them to do it is something a lot deeper. And we have got to come to terms with that. We've got to come to terms with that. One of the canaries in the coal mine, that image harkens back to miners. If they weren't sure if there was a fatal buildup of gas, they'd lower a birdcage with a canary in. If the canary didn't survive, they'd know that human beings shouldn't go down there. It's a kind of a grisly thing. Now, of course, they have other detectors, but the phrase has stuck. So the canary in the coal mine right now is the election that's coming up in Virginia. It's coming up in November. There are two gubernatorial elections in November. These are two states that decided to hold their elections in off years, off presidential years. Now, we do that too, but we do it in even years in Wisconsin. So you never have the president and the governor in the same election. But these people really do it in spades. They do it in an odd number off year. In any event, the one in New Jersey is a foregone conclusion, Democratic state. The Democrat, Phil Murphy, has it wrapped up. But in Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, former governor, couldn't succeed himself because of term limits. They only let a governor serve 4 years. Then out he goes, or out she goes, and then they can sneak back in and try again and go back and forth like that. So Terry McAuliffe is running again. He's not sneaking back in. What he's doing is trying to hold Virginia for the Democrats. Virginia, remember, Richmond, the capital of the Confederacy, and it turned Democratic in the last number of elections. Running against a guy named Glenn Youngkin, hedge fund guy, Glenn Youngkin, very pleased that hedge funds don't pay income tax. You knew that. We've talked about that before. Their lobbyists say they shouldn't pay income tax. Why don't we call their income cap? Why don't we call it carried interest and tax it about half of the income tax rate. Oh, okay. Okay. That's been going on. We're losing billions of dollars a year that way. But in any event, Glenn Youngkin, little munchkin, little Thumpkin. Thumpkin is running against McAuliffe. And this guy has no basis for running the state of Virginia. Doesn't have any political experience at all. Right now, the case is the state is very close. Poll just came out, 50%. 50% for Terry McAuliffe, fortunately. 47% for Thumpkin. And the margin of error is a little over 3%. That means, theoretically, that it could be anywhere in there. In other words, McAuliffe could have 53% or 47%. Thumpkin could have 44% or 50%. You don't know. Also, this is about, what, 3 weeks before the election? 4 weeks? Three and a half weeks? We are getting down to a dangerous time. So we're going to see what happens in Virginia. Pay very close attention. That could be a harbinger of what happens in the 2022 congressional elections, and it could be a reflection on what the state status of President Biden's presidency is. Going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.